Okay, Kyle, take it away.
Yes, alrighty. So,
and
welcome.
Should you, should do your spoiler warning too. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, sure. Oh, absolutely.
Spoilers.
All right. So, since I'm kind of like winging this, which is, you know, like my brain is exploding trying to wing this. But I will say, for anyone watching or listening, if you have never listened to anything Oz 9, put us on pause, go out, watch, listen, whatever you want to do. You can watch them too, because you can put them on your TV and watch them theoretically. So, but if you never listen to them, go out, watch all, listen to all episodes, because from this moment forward, spoilers.
Spoilers.
Affirmative.
Spoilers.
Spoilers? What spoilers?
And I killed Sparky too.
I love doing that.
It's so great.
Spoilerific.
Spoilers? What spoilers?
Spoilers. What spoilers?
Are you going to send me that so I can use it?
What now?
Will you send me that so I can use it for these two episodes?
Oh, you most absolutely can. I will, yes. But what I want to know is, we're on hiatus. So I'm curious to know, what's everybody doing in their hiatus where you don't have Shannon constantly messaging you saying, send me audio.
So,
what are you doing?
I didn't know we were on hiatus. So I was just sitting at the mic at, you know, 9:30 going, where's everybody? Every other Saturday.
It's just like high school, right?
It's exactly like high school.
Ouch.
I'm not taking the phone. I'm getting a little note. Too. Little note.
Yeah. Wake up and it's like time to make the donuts.
That dates you.
So, Tim, what have you been doing on the hiatus?
Shannon, you asked a question.
I'm just following.
I thought
up.
You said you didn't want to.
Yeah, no, exactly. No,
like, well, we're all going to sit and stare at each other.
This is my Shannon voice.
Quit. I do not. You're a butt.
Okay, now
Tim's
we know what Tim's
a
been
butt.
Doing. Well, now we know what Tim's been doing on hiatus. He's been a butt.
I've been irritating Shannon.
That's true. We did spend a week together in Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, I want to hear that a little bit about that. Tell
yeah. me. Yeah, we went to Pod Move. It was awesome. It was really good. Yeah.
You got on a plane and breathed other people's air and everything.
And look.
Oh, it was thrilling.
Healthy.
Still alive.
Presumably.
Death-defying.
Yeah, it was a little spooky, especially going in downtown Nashville on Saturday. Like, the streets were just thronged with people, and there were like six of us wearing a mask. So,
welcome spooky, to the South.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It was very fun. It was a great conference, and we had a good time. But
went to some good seminars, met some fun people.
Like what?
We'll talk about this.
I'm with Bonnie. I want to hear.
I don't think our listeners really want to know.
If you met somebody cool, or if
okay.
someone recognized you, or
we did get recognized a couple times.
Days of PodFest.
Yeah.
Shannon was like, "Oh, you can always tell because somebody came up and looked at my badge and like, oh, OZ9, I've heard of you.
OZ.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, but you've never heard us.
You've never actually listened to the show, have you?
No.
Or dot dot dot. What are you trying to sell?
Yeah, exactly. There were.
I
puppies.
Love that podcast/audiobook.
You guys talk about some really interesting subjects. Yeah, we're not that kind of podcast. Well, it was interesting, actually, because the audio fiction group was very small, and we virtually knew everybody in it. So when they had a special little gathering for the audio fiction folks, which was funny because, A, they fed us, like, a crap ton of candy, which I thought was really appropriate because we're all a big bunch of kids in there. And we all knew each other, like virtually everybody knew each other, or at least had heard of each other's shows and stuff. So, yeah, that was fun. But that was the point at which people were like, ooh, Oz 9, I've heard of you. And I was like, tell me more. So that was very fun.
Have you listened to us?
We picked up a few new subscribers there when we were chatting with people. So that was cool. And a couple other actually fairly exciting things, which I will tell you about offline. Rather than in here, but I will tell you about them. Awkward.
Spoilers and teasers, both.
There you go. Exactly.
Cliff danglers.
Oh, wait. It's over hiatus. When the hiatus ate us. That's my line I wanted to use. Dropping.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was funny. That did make me
laugh.
She's
been waiting to do that.
Well, during the hiatus, you guys had the
I'm here in Austin, Texas, normally roasting, and you guys were having like 100,000 degree weather over there in Seattle. And I was thinking I needed to bring you all here to Texas to cool off. Isn't that crazy?
That is kind of bizarre.
That's very weird.
Anybody else have crazy summer weird stuff like that?
Oh, so curious question, Bonnie. How is humidity? I have not been to Texas in so long. How is humidity in Texas? If you would describe it in one word.
So the mosquitoes have to swim to get to you.
Sounds like Mississippi, unfortunately.
It's humid.
So if everybody doesn't mind, you know, that's something that's interesting that I would like to know. You know, I know, Bonnie, you and I are both from the South. Several of you are from the Seattle area. Where is everybody from? Is there anybody that's not either in the South or Seattle?
Illinois.
Oh, cool.
Central Illinois.
Running over there.
So what's the heat in Illinois? Do you have wet heat, dry heat, what heat?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Central Illinois can get humid.
It's very wet.
Our favorite saying here is, if you don't like the weather, wait 10 minutes, it'll change.
Yeah.
And it's very much true. I mean, today alone, we had nice sunny skies. I was at work driving my bus, because that's all I've been doing during the hiatus is working. And driving down the road, and a few big heavy drops just once in a while were hitting my windshield. And I get to one end of my route, and all of a sudden, downpour. Lasted for maybe 5 minutes. And it was over, and it only hit the northern mile of the city. After a mile or so, I was out of the rain and back in the sun.
It's snow.
Yeah, we have a very similar saying here in Seattle. If you don't like the weather, wait until May or July.
I heard it differently here. If you don't like the weather, move back to California.
Yes, exactly.
Even better.
Bye. Well, it's like the mayor of Portland has a thing. I guess he said there. It's like to our friends from California. Enjoy. Please stay and enjoy the wonderful opportunities here in Portland while you're on your way to Washington.
Oh. Why would they do that to us?
Lee! Lee's coming in. Awesome.
So who has the treats? Lee's here. Anybody trip to 7-Eleven? Anyone?
That's right. We did say we were going to get him some Mike and Ike's. But
I'm pointing over here as if Kevin's here on everyone's screen.
No.
You're now pointing to Pluto and on my screen.
Center. Yeah.
Oh, my you're favorite adverb easier. Is here.
So Kevin's in Illinois and Shannon's in Seattle and Richard, the narrator, is in Seattle and... David's in
Tacoma,
Seattle.
Yeah,
Tacoma, Seattle.
Tacoma.
And Tim is—you're not. Where are you now?
Outside the sticks. Auburn.
Outside Auburn, in a beautiful area there.
Yeah.
And Kyle, you're in
Mississippi.
Not sure when I.
And
I'm
Lee
so sorry.
Is in North Carolina, right?
That is correct. Yes.
I'm getting good. And I'm in Austin, Texas.
And you are in Austin, Texas, I declare.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. So I want to ask this next question specifically to Kevin and David. You guys were not part of the original season one cast, so you've come in later in your characters in later seasons. My question is, what was it like breathing life into... And I really want to ask Kevin this first, into an inanimate object and giving it a personality.
I'm glad you added that last part.
It was interesting. I always like to tell the story about how when Cal first showed up, Shannon said, can you do an avuncular voice? And at first I knew the word, but I couldn't remember what it meant. I was going, maybe? And I asked her what it meant. She told me, and I was, the jovial uncle type. Okay, sure. Yeah, I can do that. No problem. And in my head, I started thinking of old shows like Andy Griffith and My Three Sons and all these things that had that kind of character in them, these nice people. But I hadn't come up with the voice yet. So when we do the first episode and it's time for me to do my first Cal line, I said my first line, and I said that first line just like I do now, and Bonnie died laughing at it. And And at that point, it's okay. That's Cal's voice. So
I wasn't expecting it. It was perfect.
Well, and as a pre-segue to that, it's because Kevin had already played several characters of the show. So
yeah,
when he showed up as Cal,
right,
our red shirt.
Yeah,
yeah. So, but that was your first long with any longevity character, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And technically, Shannon did kill him off too. So
just the fun.
And you got upgraded to a zebra. Got
it. Like you do.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, I have to admit there are some times when I prefer Thelonious because he's more human and there's more things he can do. But Greg just has this way about him that Greg is a lot like me. I try to be kind and polite, until I really get to know you, I'm not going to sit there and call you an ass to your face. Tim can attest to this. We've known each other a long time.
I was going to say they're in the ass phase.
Right?
Awkward.
Can we
next question?
I want to ask David a variation of this question, which is, when you came in, your character, pretty much, even from the way your name was said, and I have to ask Richard to do it. Do me a Dr. Theo Bromé. Please.
Dr. Theo Bromé.
So right there, you have instilled in your very character's name, you're a audio sex symbol. So how does it feel? Look, I embarrassed you. How does it feel playing a sex symbol on Oz9?
Well, it calls on tremendous acting. So that I can play somebody other than who I am. Thank you, Shannon. That was Shannon's concept, of course. But actually, to be honest with you, I kind of learned at some point that I was able to kind of use my voice to that degree. I worked in a hospital as a storeroom clerk, and the nurses had this thing where they would want you to bring up extra supplies, even though you've already stocked their floor, and they would go, "Oh, well, could
stock
you
my floor, David,
for me?" And they would use this little sweet, like, sounding, charming voice. And I was like, "Let me try that." Well, could you give me a count on how many needles you have? I really need to get a count. They work every single time. They'd be like, "Oh, sure, David." Yeah, I'm like, "Oh, I have a power. I'll use it for
whatever works.
Get an extra slice.
Now for good. Yeah, you're old enough. Now you use it for good. Yeah.
So yeah, that was that. And now I have turned it into Dr. Theo. And to me, the favorite part is the fact that he is just, I don't know what the clinical word for not liking to be touched is, but I love that as a contrast. It makes for a fantastic contrast.
Yeah. Agreed. Very good answer,
and
by the way.
And to be so nerdy, too. I mean, uber nerdy.
Oh, God, yeah.
Makes it great.
I love the fact that he's got a book that he's writing that's just a rough draft. He's only got 800 pages so far.
Oh, and yeah, and romance scenes that are so almost not. Not.
Good. My favorite part of that is when he's reading it to Leet, and Leet is complaining about it still going on. He's like, "You think a voice that pretty would get tired?"
But you've got to like this, whatever this is, bromance between Leet and Dr. Theo. That's just too funny. So my next question I want to focus more on Tim and Bonnie, Richard, and even Shannon for this one. This week, since the recording you did on Sunday, I've been going back and I've listened to the first 6 or 8 episodes from the very beginning. And what I find really interesting is the way your characters have progressed over the last, of course, 60 episodes, that's going to happen. For Colin, he's actually gotten a lot more nicer seemingly. So, Tim, what was it like creating Colin?
And we've told the story before that kind of one of the projects that kind of like we were doing before Oz9 even came about is we tried doing a Basil Rathbone Sherlock Holmes at Christmas episode that my husband had given me a book of scripts for Christmas, and we tried that. And so that was like kind of creating and using British accents and recording it in that way. And I knew that I wanted to create a British character for the show, and but obviously that could run the gamut, right? So I'm not sure. And then we just decided that as, and Shannon will have to refresh my memory as far as the specifics around how Colin came to be, but we came up with the idea that, because at first it's like, I think we were going to make him Cockney or something like that, but then we like the idea that he was in disguise and that he might actually be pretending to be Cockney. And then as we started doing the first voices, I kept screwing up the Cockney accent. And my accent was just all over the freaking place. I was out of practice and inexperienced, and so we just kind of used that instability as kind of like the fact that he's just this, that the Toff accent for some reason or another is a little easier for me to pull off naturally. and the Cockney just was his disguise, and being snarky and rude can be fun, but it also gets a little annoying after a while. And so one of the things that I think we chatted a bit that really wanted to see the character of Colin become more than just a two-dimensional, that he's just kind of the ass, to make him more endearing to the audience, so to speak, so that he would actually experience some character growth and development, that there was more to him than just being money grubbing and thinking he was better than everyone else. Now, that will always be an undercurrent of Colin's personality. That sort of thing doesn't just go away right away. but it's nice to see that character progression and growth, these moments where his humanity does actually kind of shine through and allows me to kind of like actually like blow my dust off of my acting chops that I haven't touched in a really long time. so it's been awesome to kind of get that chance to be part of the development of a character that has that kind of multi-dimensional characteristic to it. So,
well, Tim, you really knocked it out of the park when you had that scene with where you're kind of professing, or Colin is professing his love or suspected love or kindling love or something for, was it Albatross or was it? That was, oh, so well executed.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
That was brilliant.
Well, it's funny because June and I had done, June and I had worked in theater more years than I want to say. so it was actually, and we had done like acting together at that time. And so it was kind of fun to actually be able to do scenes with her like that again. So that was actually really, it helped to be able to play off of someone like June, who's also a very talented actress, so.
Yeah, it's so fun with Tim in particular because, you know, he does the snarky and then he does this so sweet and so gentlemanly, you know, and the switch is just so stark that it's absolutely lovely, and it makes for some really lovely scenes. So
and where he talks about to Glinda, his wife, he's talking about that one that nearly brings me to tears. When he still think, I don't know whether he still thinks she's dead or when she's on the ship and he's like, I don't know. It's a really sweet scene and it nearly brings me to tears.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask a question. I'm assuming that anyone watching this has already listened to episode 60. Is that a good assumption?
We sent out a spoiler alert.
Okay. Well, we did do the spoiler warning.
We did the spoiler.
So I want to point this to Bonnie. I love the Horace, you know, at the very end, what did you think about being the third Glinda?
It was a shock. You know, is this the one that was, I was doing halfway in the car as well? Yes.
I think, yeah, it was.
Yeah, yeah, I think
this
so.
This one was really interesting too, because this episode was coming out. I was driving with my family from somewhere on the highway in Texas. And so I'm going to try to do this read through. I've got my script with me and I'm doing it. I've got my kid's iPhone here to do this. And I've got
Yeah, the script on one and Zoom on the other.
Yeah, the script on one iPhone and another one doing the thing. And then we're driving down the highway.
You weren't driving, I'm hoping.
I wasn't driving. My husband was driving. And so we're driving down the highway trying to make this work. And I'm reading along and everything. And then right around the point of that scene, we pulled into our driveway at home. So we'd been, you know, doing it for about an hour, I think. And so I had to, you know, sign off for a minute, grab all our stuff, whatever, and then reset up at home at the kitchen table. By then they'd already read that scene while I was getting set up. So I, you know, set up the laptop and they're like, okay, let's go back a little bit, because they wanted to see my reaction to that scene that I hadn't even seen yet. So did we record that?
I don't know Zoom? If we did. We might have.
I don't remember if we recorded that Zoom or not, but it would be interesting to see, because I was just like, what? Yeah, so it was quite a shock. Yeah, I didn't know. I wasn't expecting that at all.
I don't think anybody was.
I
don't know where it's going to go.
I was surprised.
Yeah, totally surprised.
So yeah, this is going to be really exciting. Interesting.
Yeah, I think because I always read, Shannon has me preview the scripts before she sends them out. And so as I was reading through it, that was one of the things I was like, what the blame at the end. So I was like, are you kidding me?
I think the only other shock that was nearly that close was when was Tim reading? It was back when we had the old setup around the big kitchen table. No, it was when you had the second setup where you weren't together around the mic anymore, but you were on the big kitchen table. What we shocked Tim with something that had to do with Glinda. And I remember him reading the script right there at the time going, what?
Glinda, your sister, or Glinda, my wife. What?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was when there was
one of my favorite things that ever happened.
We have that on recorded somewhere. Yeah. That
ah, cool.
Yeah, I think that got recorded. Yeah. My spit takes, so to speak, after the first
week. Yeah. Anyway, so I don't know where we're going with that, but
so I want to ask, speaking of, we said the word snarky earlier. So I want to ask Richard, our narrator number one, a question. Whose idea was it, yours or was it Shannon's, to give the narrator this nice, nasty, sometimes a little bit of exasperated, what am I doing here attitude? Where did that come from?
Well, that's more from Shannon and her writing and involving the character, because when we first were sitting around the table and created it, it was basically, you know, we wanted a narrator that broke the fourth wall and would talk to the audience that way. But yeah, Shannon decided to use that also as a way to, you know, be annoyed with the stupidity of the crew. And, you know, so we see throughout the three seasons as the narrator consistently unravels as he gets more involved in the story too. So it's been interesting. But no, that's all Shannon, once again, the brilliance behind the show.
Well, you know, I give you that, but I have to take a little bit about that back from Shannon, because she can write snarky, but she can't, well, she could, but she can't say you're snarky. So
you lead a horse to snarky.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? So you had to put something into it. So
she's just tapping into that potential. Yeah.
Okay.
There was a rich vein there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, that was tapping into what was clearly not very deep, quite frankly.
So Shannon, let me ask you, I've asked everybody else a question, so let me ask you a question. When you wrote episode number one, did you think, you know, I know your writing style, and we've talked about your writing style before. Did you think you would be here at episode whatever this is, but you would have finished 60 episodes, three seasons, and it be as popular with people as it is?
No, I mean, with every new cast member that came on board, I got more and more excited because, I mean, we started out with this like fairly powerhouse cast already, right? We had Tim and Eric, who are both experienced actors and very gifted actors. And then the two Richards are both great at their individual parts. Honestly, I thought Madeline was the weakest link in that whole bunch, and I still kind of do. But, you know, so that to begin with, we were already just, you know, so far ahead of the game. And then we brought Bonnie came on. I mean, Bonnie came on almost immediately because she was in the first episode. Mm-hmm. She didn't have a character yet, but she was in the first episode as Senator Two and a couple other, then Lady Nibble Biscuit and a couple other things. And it was just like with everything, this it just kept getting better and better and more fun. And we were inviting all these great people and, you know, we were just hearing back and it just kind of kept rolling ahead of us. You know, I was frankly afraid we were going to get rolled over, but instead it just kind of took off. We were spent our time trying to catch up to this story. But yeah, no, I hoped we would be here. I hoped we would be popular. But really, it was, you know, we went into it very much sort of like, we're going to have fun. This is going to be fun. We're going to have fun with friends. And it turned into this much different, bigger thing than I anticipated. But awesome. Like I said, I've been incredibly fortunate to have the cast I have. And, you know,
I like to think of it as fun amazing. With friends.
It is still definitely fun with friends. And I think that comes across. I think you can kind of hear all the background laughter of us just having fun together is the backdrop to Oz 9 in many ways.
June dropping all the F-bombs when she's directing us. And,
and we watch Bonnie scramble to figure out what page she's on. And...
oh, crap, when she dropped up. Yes, that's why we started putting page numbers on the scripts. Yeah, well, Bonnie dropped her script.
And if it's not highlighted, it's not there.
That's right. That's totally true.
So this is a question for everyone. Is there a moment, and doesn't have, it can include you, it cannot include you. Is there a scene that you have listened to, read, watched happen, or whatever you want to call it, in the last 60 episodes? Do you have a favorite moment? And if so, what was your favorite Oz 9 moment in the last three seasons? Or the most shocking? We've already talked about, you know, the Horace and third Glinda reveal. So, and the reason I say, I think there's three Glindas. There's the albatross, there's the original Glinda, and then there's you, Glinda. I think, maybe.
No, then there's the sister Glinda.
Oh, there's a fourth Glinda.
Isn't that,
okay.
But there's the albatross, there's...
Wait, you need to send up the wall with the red yarn and the, you know, the thumbtacks.
Who's my sister? Is my sister a Glinda?
Yes.
Yeah.
Jesse's sister is
Glinda. Yeah.
Shannon had her a different name for her at first, and I couldn't say the original name with a Scottish accent. Do you remember what
I don't remember, but I forgot
really?
That, oh, actually. That's hilarious.
And you changed to Glinda, because Glinda's just Glinda? All over.
Well, I can't say anything. Every time I talked to you on Sunday, I called you Donna, so... but seriously, favorite moments from the past three seasons.
Donna, go.
I'll tell you one that I can't get that still hits me every time. It's in it's in episode 12 or 13, I think, where Jesse's out in space and in their space suit, and then she's just about to get rescued. Hello. Out of nowhere, there's this hello. When we were rehearsing it and when we were doing our little thing, when he came in and did that, I was in tears. I'm in tears every time I listen to that part. We're just not expecting that.
I the most recent episode where he does that again for the first time in ages, it just kills me. He comes up
hello.
Behind you guys in the swamp and he's like, hello.
Hello.
You can just hear how much Aaron is relishing the moment, man. He loves it. It's so funny. It's so
funny.
Great.
That's
I
one of my
had
favorite
a lot
monies.
Of favorites. I think my favorite still has got to be the whole mime sequence. I think the mime thing is funny. I don't know why. It's so dumb. But it cracks me up that they're like, wow, that's a really long rope. It's like, not a real rope, boys. Like, we take things so at face value. This crew, everything that you think, they take everything absolutely at face value, and it totally, nothing bears any closer inspection. So I love that. But
yeah, one of my favorite things is when the crew just gets something important is going on and they just get caught up
right.
with something stupid, like air quotes or whatever. I love the air quotes. That's another one I love.
It's not really a scene per se, but I love the fact that, does that answer my question somehow? Has sort of become a running joke. I just love that.
I love a running gag.
Including heroic running gag.
That's right. Yeah. Heroic running.
Anybody else?
Nefarious running.
I think my favorite
the boo-boo stuff.
The boo-boo stuff?
Yeah. all stuffed fugu. Just when the fugu got introduced and the whole everything around the fugu just cracked me up. And it's just so the nonchalance about something that is so highly toxic. And even when they realize it's highly toxic, the nonchalance still continues.
They continue to eat it.
It's just absolutely brilliant.
This group is just dumb.
I kept thinking there was a line that I just did another listen through. And I kept waiting for a line that I remember being written, but I think it might've been for a patron only episode. It was the whole fugu episode. Mm. And there was a line where Albatross says to Leet, your mother must be crushed with pride. Leet says, maybe, but I'm pretty sure it was the elephant.
I don't remember that.
My favorite line is a Leet line as well. It's in the crossover episode with Mission Rejected, and it kind of gets buried by the sound effect, but Leet comes into the Scottish pub and the door just splinters and disintegrates, and he's like, oh, earth doors are so fragile.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think that was one of the Mission Rejected boys. I'm not sure which one wrote that, but that was one of them. They are so fun. They did some great stuff. Tim, you got a favorite?
Actually, I would say that probably one of the favorites that I have is probably one that nobody will ever hear, which would be the specialty episode that we made just for Shannon between Richard and I, where I actually got Richard Esleet to sing a Monty Python song.
That we can say awesome. The name of the song on here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always look on the bright side of life.
That was awesome.
Super sweet.
It's so sweet. We recently found that. We should put that up somewhere sometime.
I guess as long as we never get paid for it, it would be all right.
But. Yeah, I think so.
Well, and if someone contacts us to get rid of it, then that's one step that's closer true. We are to actually meeting them.
There you go.
Cease and desist would mean someone found it.
Yeah, maybe we can make them sue us, and then we get even closer to meeting them.
I think the song actually is copyrighted by Eric Idle, so he's the one you'd have to get a hold of.
Exactly.
Shannon hasn't met him yet, so.
He liked me on Facebook.
That's right.
He liked a tweet on Twitter. That's what it was.
That was it. There you go.
That one's, that's really sweet.
So I think my Oz9 favorite moment actually is something outside the show. And it just so happened that Shannon and I were chatting back and forth on Discord when she was listening to an episode of Discussing Who, where I had gotten Aaron and June to record Discussing Who feedback, talking about how Le Bichon Frise hates Discussing Who because they're so nice to the doctor, et cetera, and so forth, and blah, blah. And I insert this after the fact. So Shannon's listening, thinking it's going one way, and all of a sudden I'm starting to talk about feedback, which was not in the conversation that we had recorded the previous week. And then the next thing she hears is, hello, Discussing Who podcast. It is Le Bichon Frise, phoning aboard from the Oz9.
Did I change channels somehow?
Yeah. And so she was like, I'm in Kroger shopping for groceries. And she was like, I'm listening to you guys. I was like, where are you? And she says, I was like, okay, well, let me know when you finished watching about or listening to about 3 more minutes. And she was like, ha ha ha. So anyway, that was my favorite moment.
That's an awesome moment. I love that stuff.
So Richard, what was it like finding out that you were getting competition in the narrator field?
What are you talking about? There's still been no competition.
Are you seriously still calling me tour guide?
No, just, not competition.
I think I take offense at that.
I love the
Howard School of
Expository. There you go.
Expository
sciences. Yeah.
Yes.
At least it's not depository.
Or suppository.
Now there's one. There's one would be fun
exactly.
if you got
That's
contact
what I was
with us one time.
Yeah.
It's like you can't use our name for my name for your university. Why not? You're so good at it.
Director it's the Howard. L. Ron Howard.
There
the
you
L.
Go.
Ron. Oh God. Oh no.
Oh, that could be really
see,
messy.
See, folks, there's where all the humor comes from. That crazy brain right there. So,
Yeah. So, Kyle, what did you think when I asked you to jump aboard as narrator too? Were you?
You could have picked me up off of the floor. I'm serious. That, I mean, seriously, like, as I said on the call the other day, anytime Lee asked me to do something in Relativity, I loved doing it. I had so much fun doing it. I wanted to do it. But the difference between Relativity and being on with you guys was I knew when Lee was thinking about doing Relativity, and I was always behind the scenes knowing what was going on. I learned about Oz 9 from Lee. Whenever I said, give me something I want to listen to, I'm going on a trip, he tells me, oh, well, you might enjoy this. So I became a fan of you guys before I was asked to be on. So that first time I was on, fanboying left, right, up, down, center, all around. And yeah, sounded horrible in my opinion, but there you go. Yes, I was so happy because I think you guys, and I'll be fanboying again for a moment. I think what each one of you do is absolutely fantastic. I mean, you guys create characters that resonate with people, and it, whether you are saying something about a computer, you know, those things stick with people that listen. And I think that that is the best compliment that anybody could get from the voice of God, which is David S. Deer, to the snarky, you know, Olivia, to everything you guys do. And I know I'm fanboying, but still, awesome. Just absolutely awesome.
Bring it on.
Thank you.
That's why you're the best person to ask questions, because you're the biggest fanboy here.
I'll be honest. When I first saw that someone had actually bought some Greg merchandise, I was immensely humbled. I just couldn't believe that I was, this character that I was doing was so popular that someone wanted to buy something with that picture on it.
Right.
Right here.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, seriously, I frequently will say to me, it's not my fault, right? On Twitter or whatever. And I love it every time. Like, I am so happy every time that happens because it's so cool. Unless they hit my car and they were just telling me it's not my fault.
But they said it's entirely your voice, different situation. Different.
Yeah, that's right.
Probably true, but still.
So let me say this real quick. I think you guys will appreciate this. The other night, I was on a episode of Discussing Trek, and I was blasting, and I haven't actually not shared this with you, Shannon, yet. I was blasting Lower Decks for the moment because I didn't like it. I didn't like some of the things they were doing, the way they were going. And one of the things I do each week is give my quote-unquote beats of the episode, and I try to be funny of like what I think about it, because there was one that they did of Dr. Crusher, and I only said she crushed it because I thought she did a good job. But I had this big, long thing written out. It was like four paragraphs. My last paragraph ended with, oh, and I know an apocalypse device with her name on it. But if you didn't get those few references of what true space comedy can be, well, it's not my fault.
Love that, Kyle.
Cheers. So I'm out of questions. So there you
go.
Who
else has questions?
I'll just throw something in real quick because, you know, we did start out so indie. Literally, we all stood around the same microphone in Tim or Chikawin's spare room with the squeaky spot on the floor that we had to be careful not to step on while we were trying to say our lines.
Dogs.
No idea about, you know, redoing lines or whatever. It's like, we got to do the one take. You know, we would do one read through and then one take and we're done. So, you know, some of the early episodes and even to this day, you know, a lot of the sound effects that we had to do were Shannon and I were doing our own Foley. And even to this day, every morning when we make coffee, because in episode, there was an early episode where Bonnie plays Lady Nibblebiscuit. And Colin is afraid of her husband, so he hides in this closet. And he's like, I'll be in here. You never saw me. And there's this little creak of the door. Well, that's the lid to our coffee maker. So every morning when we make coffee, one or the other of us, as it creaks open, you'll hear someone go, I'll be in here. And they'll go, you never saw me.
It's the lid to your coffee maker?
Yes.
That's so funny.
So, I mean, that's just how indie we were in the beginning.
I was recording on the
iPhone.
In my car on the iPhone recording app.
You're using voice memo.
Yeah, using voice memo in my car.
Because that was a quiet, enclosed place.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Oh, that's right, man. I'll
we
tell
do
you,
sound good in our cars, I have to say.
Well, we have to remember the beginning with Jesse. She's... Anyway, so it didn't matter. Remember, she's on that other ship, and it's real. Mm-hmm. So it worked for me for a while. It's
supposed to be staticky. Yeah.
It wasn't really. It didn't sound bad, you know.
Yeah. And you weren't speaking English, so there you go.
That's right. No one knew what I was saying anyway. It was a strangled Latvian.
Mm-hmm. Not that you're keeping track or anything.
I still don't know where that person came up with that. That doesn't sound like a strangled Latvian to me.
Yeah, it's like, stop strangling Latvians, dude, who wrote the podcast review. Yeah.
That's a reference. That's the
other question. How does he know what a strangled Latvian sounds like?
That's a reference to my bad review that I got once. And when I was going through, piles of reviews to get them, and I ran across this one, some British guy, said that my accent sounded like a strangled Latvian. It's funny now. I cried, though. I was like, oh, no. It's so hard. And then now it's like a big joke. And so I did look up Latvian Scottish and found a woman who is a Scottish girl in Latvia, or a Latvian girl in Scotland. And I need to make friends with her and see if we can get her on the show.
There you go.
We should take all our bad reviews and turn them into something on the show just to like stab them back with.
An entire episode of Richard saying alarm.
Alarm. Alarm.
Yeah.
Everybody on the show talks about they hate it too. I mean, all the characters hate it too. So that should be the whole point. I mean, people don't get it, but it's kind of like reading mean tweets. We just take our criticism.
We don't have very many, fortunately.
Bad reviews?
This is not an invitation, by the way, folks. I'm very happy that we have very few bad reviews. I have a question. It would be very funny, actually. I have a question for David. And I would ask this question of Aaron too, but unfortunately he wasn't able to join us. But for those people that I keep giving difficult words to say, how is that when you have to say some botanical term or, well, with you, it's mostly botanical because you're the mold expert.
Well, the Latin terms, yeah.
How is that for you? And do you just dread it or do you enjoy it?
No, I like it. It's, you know, when you're doing an audiobook narration, you do a lot of that anyway. Like if you went with towns in Michigan, you're constantly having to go to YouTube and listen to how the Michigan people say it, because it's not going to be the same as how it looks. We Washingtonians know that as well. So yeah, I'm kind of used to that. And I do the same thing I'll use YouTube videos to listen to how people say things rather than try to do the little dictionary speaker thing. And then I'll just say it over and over and over again until the scene comes. And then there's no little pause, because, you know, when you're trying to find the pronunciation, you can go and then you recall how to say it and do it. So you kind of have to make it automatic. And it's fun. I love doing that. And it's fun to make it sound like you've been saying it for years.
That's good.
In other words, that's just an invitation for her to do it again and again and again.
That's all right.
But then she has to look them up.
Yeah, I do actually have to look them up. But it was so fun. I'm 100%.
Your CIA agent
sure.
Must really be really interested in what you're searching.
Oh my God.
My browsing history is insanity. I think it's Vikram from Planthropology is the one person who identified Theobroma's name as an actual. It's the Latin term for a kind of mold is Theobroma.
Really?
Right? Yeah. And Vikram, of course, he's a plant guy. He's like, oh, I love
Vikram
that joke.
Balaja. I'm
like, just you. That joke was for you, dude.
it's like the tweet we saw from the guy that's like, oh, it's pretty weird listening to a just American podcast and suddenly hear your footy team mentioned, because Glenda's password was Greenock Morton, which is a very small soccer team in Scotland.
Yeah.
So, got this, so that joke was just for that listener too. So there you go. Someday, really... someday your joke will come up, whomever you are.
Hey. So I invite all the Oz 9 listeners, when you're listening to something, see if you can catch the reference that explains the last, what happened in the last episode that kind of seemed arbitrary. There's a lot of Shannon doing that. She's like, wait a minute, I didn't really explain how or why that happened. So I'm going to use the next episode to explain that. It's fun. It's fun to watch. It's fun to hear.
I wish I could think of an example, but
there, it's like watching you kind of punch holes in drywall when you write an episode, and then the next episode you plaster that hole with an explanation.
Yeah, Kevin's good at catching those.
Yeah, as Kevin well knows.
Sorry about the cough.
Well, I mean, the one that you always bring up is the ship numbers being 6748, the 644, the 19, whatever it was. And but then again, my personal feeling on that is I've worked in enough places that have a fleet of vehicles, and the vehicles don't have sequential numbers at all. Where I work now, our buses don't have sequential numbers at all.
Right.
The only thing that's sequential is the first two numbers of the four digit number, because that's the year we bought the bus. So,
well, you know, the best one of those of all though is the Oz asterisk, because in the story she says something about that they, you know, it was 401, they'd already used all 400. It's like 6740. Okay, fine, Oz asterisk, we'll go with that. Sure, Shannon.
So. Well, Mike, the confusion there is, of course, that the model number, and I always get these things wrong. So there were 400 ships, but they are the Oz 8000 series, right? So it's like a Toyota Tercel or Prius or whatever. So it's the Oz 8000s. And then I had forgotten that 400 was the number and had 8000 in my head. And I was like, hey, 6748.
Did you just reveal something?
Probably. What did I reveal?
Theory time.
Uh-oh.
Could there be? Let me
write this down, whatever it is.
Could there be 400 of each model of 8000?
I don't even have math skills for that.
But that would explain the 6748.
It's actually just because Shannon thought she had 8,000 numbers in the field.
But I like that.
Maybe the Oz ships are numbered like Windows operating systems.
Ooh,
there you go.
Throw some letters in. And maybe the print symbol.
And they were based on Vista and Millennium Edition.
There you go.
They were obviously numbered by the same frat boys who wrote the manuals in Aramaic and what have you.
Yeah, I tried at one point to write one of those manuals just for fun, and then stick it in Google Translate a couple times, and you know, get it all gerbly gobbled, and I couldn't do it. In the end, I was like, I was going to write one for the funiculator, and I gave up in the end.
A couple of times? It's Google Translate. All you have to do is run it through once, and it's all Google.
Yeah, that's true. But I did. I was
sorry, Google.
Yeah, seriously. I was communicating with somebody on Instagram, I believe, who's an employee had just started listening to it, or a colleague at work had just started listening to Oz 9, and they were listening to it together out loud as they're working, and then the Fornicator episode came on, and they like both are diving for the off button because it's a little too embarrassing and mixed company to listen to it. I'm sorry.
Oh, that episode cracks Shannon. That cracks eighth grade Shannon up so much. She loves the Fornicular episode.
I do. I have to admit it, you know, makes me laugh.
Speaking of people who listen to Oz 9.
That's one of the best ones.
Speaking of people who listen to Oz 9, one of my favorite ones was when someone wrote a post about Amtrak being the Oz 9 of trains. And someone from the Amtrak public media person knowing what they were talking about.
Yeah.
Wait, oh, wow.
Yeah, I think it was, I want to say that was Caroline Minx.
I can't remember. It was so long ago.
On Twitter. Yeah, it was a long time ago. And I remember they said something like, and I'm pretty sure it was Caroline, and they said, Amtrak is the Oz 9 of trains. It was an Ask Me Anything, one of those. And somebody said, Amtrak? And she said, the Oz 9 of trains. Or they said, excuse me, the Oz 9 of trains. And then, so I wrote back, take that, Amtrak. And then Amtrak wrote back, hey, now, have good luck, Space Monkeys, or something like that. And we're all like, somebody in Amtrak has listened to at least a couple episodes.
Do you have a screen grab of that?
Somewhere. Yeah, I could probably go find the whole conversation on Twitter.
It's Twitter. Sure, it's on the internet. It lasts forever.
Yeah. Oh, we got to find it. You probably sent me a screen grab and I probably saved it somewhere. I
that may have been before, right, before we were doing that.
It was before Teams, I remember, but I seem to recall you sent it out to all of us somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to go back and dig for that because that was a fun one. I love stuff like that. Just
might have been on Messenger now that I think about it.
Random, weird, crazy stuff where we show up. I'm still looking. I'm still hoping to find a t-shirt in the wild, but that hasn't happened yet.
When's the Awesome Nine musical going to happen?
Any minute now. Well, now we have Sarah. And in fact, one of the gentlemen from Best in Galaxy posted on their Instagram a film that he helped score or scored the entire thing. I'm not entirely sure, but it's amazing. And so I was like, hey, when you can help us write our musical? And he's like, for Oz 9? Maybe someday. Sort of a thing. So, yeah, a little busy on that end of the world. But yeah, so it's like, oh, that would be very fun. Because the crossover we did with Best in Galaxy where we got C4 for an episode, that was so much fun.
Yeah.
I love that episode.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, the best line in that whole episode is like, he's C4 is begging for a cigarette. And he's like, well, if I give you one, we'll shut you up. And C4 is like, intermittently, yeah.
Oh, stooge.
Oh, anyway.
That was a great fun. Yeah, more of those, please.
Do you already have concepts for season 4?
Ooh, good
concepts,
question.
Sure.
You know what? You know what her real problem is? She has too many ideas. She sits down to write, and she's like, "I don't know what to do. I have too many ideas."
It is. It's like if you ever see a very small child on Christmas morning looking, and they're like, "There's all that stuff under the tree," and they just go crazy, like tearing into every box. Yeah, that's where I am right now. I'm just there's lots of shiny boxes, so trying to figure out what to do next.
Pandora's box here, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Have you ever thought of a spinoff based on all these ideas?
Actually, yes.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah.
Really?
There are so many ideas. Well, and of course, like, we haven't talked about the comic book in the last 15 minutes because I talk about it constantly, but so the artwork is final. And it's delicious. And wait until you see the scene between Colin and Olivia. I mean, it's all beautiful. It's all gorgeous. But that scene in particular, and it holds this very special place in my heart anyway, because Tim and I had, I don't know about Tim, whatever, but I had such a great time recording that. Like, that was so
It was one
much
of the
fun.
First ones. So it was awesome.
It was
the
first episode, right? So it was like way back. Yeah, totally. And it was so fun. Yeah. And the scene, the way he envisioned it, I mean, I've said the greatest thing about Lucas, not only is his incredible talent, but he shares our sense of humor. And so there are so many things going on in the background that I had nothing to do with. That's all Lucas, and they're hilarious. There's so many wonderful things going on that is just Easter eggs everywhere. And I cannot wait to get that thing in my hot little hands because it's going to be such a hoot. But sorry, what was the original question?
We were talking about like a spinoff sequel.
I think it would be great. I would love to do, you know, some stuff because we have such fun characters. And at some point, we're going to do a relativity where the ship is going to separate from Earth, right? Completely be severed at some point, presumably. Now, who's going to be where at that point? I don't know. And what happens to French Lick at that point? I don't know. But we'll find out when we get there. But, you know, we have a very rich group of characters to play with, and we have all these frozen people. We haven't had an alien encounter yet except for the plants, and they don't talk. So
where's Wiggy?
That's true. Where's Wiggy? That's right. And at some point we might have to take pneumonia home. I don't know. We'll see.
Where did pneumonia come from? I forgot.
It was that crossover with Diary of a Space Archivist.
Oh wow.
Jesse might not have been in that episode.
Yeah, she was.
Okay. Kevin knows. I don't.
Yeah. I just listened to it again.
Because that's the thing that rides around in Greg.
Yeah. In Diary of Space Archivist, she's runs across this little bat-like thing that she calls a Puckmeron based on the creature from, what was it, Flight of the Navigator, I think?
Yep, yep.
Yeah. And so she calls it Puck. It's not actually what it's called, but that's what she calls him because it's the closest reference she has to it. And in our mini episode, that's not really his name, but he's okay with it.
Yeah. So now we have a, I don't know, sister. I think we determined that it was some sort of sibling, Puckmeron on our ship called Pneumonia, who rides around inside Greg.
Yeah.
She somehow related to the, she's somehow related to the matriarch.
Right.
I just love the fact that Pneumonia lives in Greg's lung.
Yeah. And redecorated.
And redecorated.
Oh, yeah.
That a mirrored ceiling? Taxi.
What the hell did you do in there?
Oh, the goofy things.
Okay, wrap it up.
It's getting quiet.
I think we're all ready to go eat dinner. Or Bonnie's ready to have second dinner like the hobbit that she is. How you manage to stay so tiny, I don't know, young woman, but you do. So.
Run off anxiety.
I have a bit of
anxiety
a question.
Anxiety burns calories.
I have a bit of a question. It's a good ending one.
Okay.
Where does everyone see their characters going? Or where do you hope they go?
That's a very good question. I want to ask David that one because he's now got a second character that we have added on with the fun new twist, very different than Theo.
Tiberius.
Oh, you're talking about the clerk in French Lake?
Yeah, exactly.
No. Oh, Tiberius. Oh, geez, Louise. I've been faunching at the bit since Shannon approached me and asked me if I wanted to do an evil Bond villain type guy and with his own quirks. And I got tickled. I love playing those kind of characters. I absolutely love them. Just because I have to try to think like them, but it's hard to do. But it's just fun to just over the top these people with these nefarious plans that are sociopaths that really end up eventually getting in their own way because of their giant ego and control issues. And so yeah, I'm tickled. I'm so excited to play Felonious. I can't. Tiberius. Louise. Somebody else plays Felonious.
I play Greg. Felonious.
That's Kevin.
Yeah. So I'm just tickled pig. I cannot wait to do more. And you know, not to say that there's no more love for Dr. Theo, because Dr. Theo's his own kind of brand of fun to play. So I'm just really excited. You bring back Dr. Charlie, and then I'm really in a dream world.
Dr. Charlie was awesome. In the swamp episode, the bio swamp documentary.
That was so much fun.
That was great. He ran away with that one. That was great.
I did kind of chew the scenery a little bit.
I'll admit it. In the best way. I want to ask Tim, what do you think? Colin's your main character, but do you have thoughts about any of the others? Emily, if we ever see Buck again, God knows where he is.
Oh, I know you're gonna pull him out at like the least expected moment. All of a sudden, I have to blow dust off of doing an awful Jersey accent again.
Keep complaining. Maybe she'll kill him off too.
He's already had food allergy from shellfish.
He's come so close to dying so many times, but he hasn't. Just alludes to these horrible things that happen off screen. It's wondrous. The funny thing is, I actually kind of like Buck. Just because he's the character that isn't. So it's like he was in those first few episodes, but he still ends up becoming this weird off-kilter plot device that Shannon just kind of throws in. Oh, by the way, Buck is off doing this. for the audience to remember that he's still alive and something horrible happened to him.
Oh my God, I love when Mr. Southers is hostage and Buck is making cookies.
I think it's biscuits. Aren't they making biscuits?
Something like that. I think it was biscuits. He was baking something. I can't remember that.
That's right. It's
going but, something. Yeah, the big thing is I'd be curious to see what happens to Buck. Emily and Howard are interesting because they've obviously connected. And not that they weren't already connected, but in a different way. So curious, it's like, I don't know if that we were, are going to continue to want to try to kill Leet. I'm totally fine with that for reasons of my own. So I'll be curious to see what happens with that. And then obviously with Colin, he's in this interesting love situation, but he's also he's kind of like in this crossroads of where he could go in any number of directions. It's like he's got these superpowers that are developing. He's got love interests popping up left and right, so he's not sure where that's going to land. And a lot of that is going to be fundamental to who Colin is as a person, as far as where he'll gravitate, where his motivations are. I'd like to think that he started out being really shallow and being really interested in just kind of superficial things, but I'd like to think that in the end, he would end up doing whatever the right thing is. He just will end up doing it in an incredibly complex way that will be incredibly overly dramatic and filled with explosions and self-defeating, probably. He might come out of it in the end, but he probably won't come out of it the same way he went into it.
Yeah.
He started off really shallow and became very transparent.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. In I think Eric's character, Joe, is very much the sort of everyman to a certain extent, although there's a lot of mystery around him. But in some ways, Colin is really very central to the story because I think of all the characters so far, he's undergone the most change. We've seen the most change in him, in his personality. So he's very much a central character. Like Leet is... I love Leet. But Leet was different than we planned from the get-go. we were going to make him like this sort of beach guy, dude, like himbo, yeah, dude guy. Hey, dude, you know.
And total hacker, too.
Yeah, and all that. And we just, it just wasn't, like, Richard Cowan is just so sweet. And he has that really sweet voice. And it's always, you know, when somebody who's like massively overdeveloped like Leet is, turns out to just have this very sweet personality, it's always fun to cast against type that way. Or
and strangely part. Zen.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Relief smells like lemons.
It's interesting that you say that Colin is because the character of Colin, he actually represents what the purpose of that ship was for, which is to pack it with all these erudite folks. And he is one of them. But he's an actual breathing, walking around member of the crew, one of them, rather than just kind of, you know, Gertie fodder.
Yeah. Right.
A juice box.
Juice box.
Yeah, because originally that was the intent, right? Is that these rich people were duped into basically being used for this nefarious purpose. And so, yeah, there's a kind of evolution. It's like one of them has actually come out and is helping to, along with the rest of the crew, short circuit that. Now, what that turns into is going to be interesting. Like, for instance, I don't think has had, I would love to see Olivia's character also start to kind of like, as an AI, exhibit those characteristics of true intelligence where she starts to develop and grow and become more than her programming too. So I'll be curious to see how that kind of evolves in time too.
You know what? This may be by, I don't mean to interrupt, but this may be by accident, but from listening to the first ones at this week, I would go so far as to say that Olivia has grown a little bit because she seemed a lot less in control in those first 6 to 10 episodes than she does now, for whatever reason. Maybe she had control all along and she just was being snarky and doing things for the heck of it, maybe. But yes, I would like seeing, like you said, more from her.
She is more confident, that's for sure. She was definitely less sure of herself in the beginning, but and her confidence has grown. But I think that's also out of
even
necessity.
When she shrunk.
And now that she's been 3D printed.
She's far more willing to whip people now than she used to be.
Yeah.
Well, she's always been a little flip crazy.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I was talking with Lucas, and speaking of spinoffs, Lucas and I have been talking about, and I've been talking about for a while, that, you know, this is crew number 7, and we've been in space for 28 minutes when this whole thing starts, because she has that conversation with Colin, and Colin's like, oh, 28 years, that's lovely, I get a rebate because it's more than 25, and she says, 28 minutes, right? It's like, half an hour, we've been in space. Which is one of my favorite moments. But I have been saying that I wanted to write the script of the first 27 minutes. Like, what actually happens from launch until this crew is awakened? And but I was saying to Lucas that that would actually be a great comic book, because that way we don't have to go co-opt a whole new crew of actors to play crews 1 through 6. You know, so
or
that's
do
a
you,
lot
Ed?
Of folks.
Olivia could have just skipped 1 through 6 and just woken up 7. I mean,
it's, yeah.
You could have she melted didn't. A few.
Well, we always kind of alluded that she kind of did that to get to Leet.
To Leet.
But that was never really 100% certain. So there could be all sorts of reasons of things that could have happened. Some of them good, exactly. Some of them bad, some of them horrible.
Right, exactly.
But nothing
I think
horrible ever happens on the show.
Yeah, no.
Crew 1 was entirely Hendekagists.
Poor Matt.
What if you made several first 27 minutes, as in like they did with Clue, with several different endings?
Oh, nice.
Oh, God.
I like that. That's fun. Woo. That's fun.
Dun, dun, dun. Then you don't have
but
to
the ending's the always ending. The same. Oz 9-7.
I don't know.
Crew number 7.
There could be several different beginnings, though.
As crew 7 heads to the bridge.
All right, Donna Jesse, what do you hope happens with your characters? What do you see happening? I mean, Donna's a tough one because she just keeps changing and even she just
what
keeps
the
changing.
Going on with Donna? What's your real voice? I don't even know.
If that's your real name.
That's my real name, Donna.
Indeed.
Indeed. Who knows? Oh, yeah, we don't even know where Donna's come from. I hate to see her romance with Pluto in because it's so adorable. But what her husband is now, I don't know what's going to go on with Donna. You're on your own. I'm just here for the ride.
Good answer.
I'm just treading water, trying to keep my head above. That's all I know about Donna. Yeah, I had no idea what I hope from Donna. I just hope she stays around because I love doing her. She's great.
That is so funny too, because Donna literally was a one-time character. She was a one-time character. She was going to be the receptionist that's at the now completely vacated gated galaxies, but for some reason they're still a receptionist.
Because that was the joke.
Right, because that was the joke. And then she just was so much fun. And I think at some point I needed a connection on Earth to go pillage the files. That's what it was. And so Donna comes back, and she's just been so much fun to play with since then that we've just kept her because, well, Bonnie's brilliant, as we all know, so there's nothing this woman can't do. But yeah. What about Jesse?
It was my Edith Bunker laugh, wasn't it? she was like,
it was the Morning Wood Fairy that sealed it.
Oh, no. She had to do one laugh when she was falling in love with, or she saw the handsome guy, and I decided
Matt.
It was my
Matt.
Was my
Matt. Oh, yeah.
Matt.
Whenever Edith Archie would say something kind of sexy to Edith, or she'd hear something a little bit off color, Edith would do this, like, nervous laugh. That's where that came from.
Nice.
So, Bonnie, which character do you prefer, Donna or Jesse?
Ooh, if I had to get rid of one?
If one of them had to go, if one had to die for the good of the show, which one would you get rid of?
Donna.
Really?
I love Donna. Yeah, I love Donna, but I'd hate to get rid of Jesse. I've got this sort of attachment to Jesse, even though I struggle with that accent and I'm sometimes, and people, I don't know. I think that I just have I have an emotional attachment to Jesse, probably because I've had her longer and I have a backstory for her in my head that Shannon doesn't even know.
Oh, geez. I want to hear it because I might want to steal it.
Well, you know, just try to get my stuff across. So maybe I'm just more attached to her. And I think a lot of people don't pay attention to Jesse's. There's little hints for Jesse's backstory, you know, and that never, you know, give you more. There's this one time when she's, I love you, he loves me, he loves me not, on a flower. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Did that go anywhere?
No.
Yeah. Who was that?
I could
we
tell
believe
you,
it might
but
be Jesse's father. Right, wasn't it? Yeah. I thought it might be Jesse's father, actually. Hmm. And there was other points of, like, Jesse talking about how, you know, I'm a captain of a ship, and all he ever talks about is Glinda or whatever. He says, she says something like that, Glinda, you know, Glinda's the favorite.
Well, and that's one of my favorite exchanges, actually, is you and June as Glenda talking about how she's going to get you the captaincy of your own ship. And it's like, he accidentally killed himself yesterday. He accidentally killed himself tomorrow. Tomorrow? I mean yesterday.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's really,
I think I'm maybe more attached to Jessie stuff. Because I feel like I know more of her story. And that much of a jerk as she is, it's for a reason.
That makes sense. She came with intent, meaning you knew you were playing her. Whereas with Donna, it was a happenstance, a happy happenstance. Because if you created her, Shannon, with the intent of a one time, I'm sure it was presented to you as, hey, I want you to do this character real quick. You know, one time, here she is, Donna, blah, blah. But you, from the beginning, I think, invested in Jessie, is from what I'm hearing.
We don't know Jessie was going to come onto the ship, though, either, did we?
You know, it's funny. In the end, it was partly because I was so tired of messing with the static sound that Jessie came over. So many decisions are made because the sound effects are making me nuts. But, yeah, I wasn't sure for a long time. I didn't think it would be as soon as it was, for sure. It happened faster than I had planned it, but
she's
it
got
just
a lot of
timed out right.
She's got a lot of emotional things. I mean, she wanted to be spaceship captain her whole life, and she finally gets a chance to do it, and it's only from her horrible, shitty sister tricking her into it for some other god-awful reason, you know, whatever.
But plus, all that time spent listening to Lynn.
Oh, yeah. When I first heard this script for Jessie, I just immediately thought she had to be Scottish, and I didn't know how to do Scottish yet. So all I knew was Craig Ferguson. So I listened to a bunch of Craig Ferguson. And so my voice is basically a combination of Craig Ferguson, well, inspired by Craig Ferguson and his sister, Lynn Ferguson, who would come on a show sometime. And she's got a really great, I listen to some other Scottish actresses from things, but they're always really sort of posh Scottish, if there is such a thing. No offense, Scottish people.
Spottish.
But it always seems too sweet. You know, really too sweet, like the girl in Brave or whatever, you know? And so, but Lynn is kind of badass. You know, she's got a badass background. So I listened to her and tried to, so I worked really hard to try to get a Scottish accent, Latvian though it may be.
You know, it's just as well you haven't built a backstory for Donna, because Donna the character really doesn't and shouldn't have a backstory, because this is a character that's just completely enigmatic and completely undefinable because of this whole cloak and dagger business.
Yeah.
So to me, I think it tracks.
Maybe not. Yeah. So, but it's not that I don't like Donna. It's just like if I had to choose, I've got an emotional attachment to Jessie more than Donna. And also there's another scene. Oh, remember when she starts getting kind of bad for a while and you think she's going to try to take over the ship?
Mm-hmm. That's when I turned on her.
Yeah. And but at one point, Olivia has to talk sense into her. And she basically says, I just like being wanted for once.
Yeah.
And I tried to put my little heart in that because, you know, for once the Bichon Frise was wanting her to help him with something. And, you know, the whole time she's been on the ship, all she's been is ex-Captain Jessie and, you know, we're going to kill you, you know, everything, all this kind of stuff. And then she's got to be, you know, she's got to work underneath somebody who didn't even make it through school. Maybe, I can't remember. Did you make it through school? We don't know for sure. Mad?
No. Yeah, that's one of those untied threads, is how did Madeline get to be captain, which she really never qualified for it.
So, you know, I love working with somebody who's your boss who doesn't, you know,
doesn't have the degree you do,
doesn't even know how to steer the ship or whatever. So yeah, so in my head I know all her backstory and I feel for her,
and that,
and I love
everybody
yelling
that's,
her. I love a Jessie rant.
We so for everybody that's listening to this, everything that they just said is exactly why it is so good to listen to Oz 9 for as much, no, seriously, for all the things you guys have been saying, all the thought that you put into this outside of just reading the lines as they are written is why it's as good as what it is. There you go.
I'll take that.
I think, and I want to hear Kevin's too, because we haven't gotten to Kevin yet, but, or the narrator for that matter, but one of the things I want to say is I think for me, it really helped me to have Lucas's artwork when we started having the on a bi-character basis, having them drawn out, because suddenly
looking forward to Polonius.
Yeah, tell me that we've got several more now in the pipeline. I need a Thelonious, Tiberius. We definitely have to have a Donna. We have not got a Donna.
Habazetzer.
Habazetzer. Yeah, we've got new characters what we really want. But it, you know, Greg's sweetness came out when I saw how adorable Lucas made that zebra looked. I mean, he's incredibly cute. And he, you know, I was like, the only thing is he's got to have a mane. Yeah. But so anyway, that was, I think that helped me sort of cement in my mind with these characters. You know, Jessie's perfect. She's got like half of her hair is shaved, I think. And then long on the other side, she's like feisty and, you know, just.
She just looks badass.
She looks badass. Yeah. She totally
does. And her sock.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. It's just
she's fun. Armed.
Always. Angled. Legged. Yeah. Anyway, Greg, what about you? What do you think for your characters?
Well, for
Greg, Kevin, sorry, you have a real name.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to start with Thelonious because there, I mean, we've kind of touched on the idea that Thelonious might have a different sexual orientation than others. And
his, come back in. The dog was going crazy.
And this is why we love Bonnie.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, obviously his it'd be interesting to see maybe a bonus episode that focuses on his relationship with Percival while he was pretending to be Tiberius.
Richard will love that. Having to reconnect to that character.
Maybe I mean, he doesn't necessarily have to do the voice. He was playing a character, so. But maybe there's a little more with Thelonious and the real Tiberius, or, you know, like a Smithers and Mr. Burns type thing going on there, you know, for all we know. It would just be interesting to see a little more of who Thelonious is, how he became this person who enjoys the pain of others and enjoys being called one of the baddies. So
yeah, definitely.
As for Greg, I kind of like to see what happens when Greg just finally has had enough of this crew and yells at them. I mean, just goes off on them and just starts yelling at them for what they're doing.
I think that's the narrator's job.
Well, I mean, so far he's been, it's been like, what are you talking about? Colin's trying to learn how to focus his eye lasers. Here, use these goggles. Too bad they're not night vision goggles. Aren't? And, you know, he just kind of is just soft and trying to lead them. And I just would love to see one time when Greg just finally goes, "You idiots, listen to me." And it would definitely be, more development of Greg. I mentioned to Shannon that I see him as he's now got this life of his own, and now he wants to live it to its fullest, and just more development with him would be fun.
Yeah,
because being a bomb is all he's ever known.
That's right. Yeah. He's got high stakes, man. He's got a life to lead to land somewhere for already. All right, narrator, you can wrap it up for us. We're an hour and a half into this conversation. So.
Oh, I would just like to keep the narrator as two-dimensional as I am. I think that's working out great. So just be the snarky commentator that, you know, knows what's going on with the audience and constantly shaking the head at the idiots.
I am wondering if he's ever going to come up with a way to tell the Oz9 crew that he's figured out how to kill the plants, but...
He did.
See if he ever completely.
I know a secret. I know a secret, but I can't tell. Look at Shannon. She's just ignoring the computer.
Spoilers.
That'd even be spoilers for us.
Shannon does have some of those.
She has a few from time to time.
Look at her. She is grinning, 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 and not saying a word.
I don't know a thing.
I don't know a thing.
So, narrator two, any plans for your future for your character?
As long as I am needed, he is here, he is there, he is everywhere. That's all I can say.
Awesome.
Well, he's just happy to be along for the ride. Awesome.
Well, thanks for asking questions. These were great questions. It was very much more fun to have you asking questions than me. So thank you.
Well, like I said, been there, done that, and I need to make a t-shirt. So there you go. But yes, I had fun. That was unexpected, but absolutely a lot of fun.
Still waiting for the narrators. I narrate and I know things. Sure. So
there you go.
There you go.
All right. Any last thoughts, comments before we call it an evening and go have dinner?
Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. You didn't have to.
It's fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's always fun to get together with this group.
Totally.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Yes, it has.
And Bonnie, if you're saying something, you're muted. But I'm excited.
Do a quick shout out to our single listeners that are in countries. That
and she froze.
Whoever you are in Estonia, please write to us. Whoever you are in.
That guy in Kenya.
Moldova.
That guy in Kenya.
Single listeners, ones that are unattached to no significant others.
Right, Eric's available far away.
Yeah, for
Lonely
sure.
Hearts Club.
We check our Libsyn stats, and occasionally they'll be like, one person in Bali is listening to your show. It's like, yay!
I want to meet them.
Gal in Bali. Yeah.
How do you know it's not one person that just travels to all these different countries? So it's the same person.
Well, if that's who it is, it'd be nice to know too.
Yeah,
that's true.
They obviously know them because it's Superman.
Let them evangelize in Bali, you know. Evangelize the show.
I'm spreading the word of Oz 9.
Maybe that's why tattoos. They're doing it. They may already be doing that.
It's turning into a religion. It's going to turn into a Star Trek episode at this rate.
Okay, so we got to go to Bali and hook up with some tattoo artists. That's what we got to do.
The problem with
our new character.
This guy who's evangelizing in Bali is doing it very slowly because we've had one person listening there for quite a while. So numbers are not going up real fast. Okay.
He's keeping it to himself.
There you go.
But they are keeping it to themselves.
There you go.
All right. Awesome. Well, anyway, this was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody. Mwah. See you soon with the next script and season 4.
Yep. See you soon.
All right. Ciao. Love you all.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks, Kyle.
Bye, everybody.